B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. We're going to start from the fourth last narrow line on Daf Ches Amud Beis. Ula Yovlos, the Gemara is going to take us back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says that on the first of Tishri, that we call Rosh Hashanah, is actually the Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, not only regarding the other things mentioned there, but also Le Yovlos, regarding Yovel. And we all know what is Yovel. So the Pasuk says that there's a seder of a sequence of seven shmitos, shmita being the seventh year in the cycle, seven cycles of shmita, and then you have 49 years. Year 50 is considered yovel. And there's many halachas in yovel. One halacha is that, as with shmita, one has to abandon the land, abandon the fields. One's not allowed to work on the fields at all. There's another halacha exclusive to Yovel, and that is that property goes back to its original owners. Even properties that have been sold, some of them, there's many halachas, but the properties go back to the original owners. There are slaves. Slaves become freed in the year of Yovel. And there's other halachas. And one of the things that one has to do, and that's an explicit pasuk, is that on Yom Kippur of Yovel, on the 50th year, they would blow the shofar. Those are the halachas we're going to be discussing in this sugya. And the Mishnah says that when is the Rosh Hashanah, when does Yovel start? Yovel starts on the first of Tishri. On Rosh Hashanah, says the Gemara, Yovel is be'echad b'tishri hu? Yovel starts on Rosh Hashanah on the first of Tishri. Yovel is be'yud b'tishri hu? Does Yovel not start only on Yom Kippur on the 10th of Tishri, when they sound the shofar? It says in the pasuk, v'avarto shofar trua, that you will sound the trua of the shofar b'chidesh hashvi, in the seventh month, which is Tishri, but also lachidish on the 10th of the month, b'yom Kippurim taviru shofar b'kol aratzechem. The Beis Din would sound the shofar on Yom Kippur, and that would spark the onset of Yovel. We know that the year starts regarding other halachas on Rosh Hashanah on the first of Tishri, but Yovel, the pasuk says that you sound the shofar, and that seems to be the onset of Yovel. So how can the Mishnah say that Yovelos is one of the things that starts on the first of Tishri? Answers the Gemara, it's actually a machlekes tanoim, where the Yovel starts on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. Ha mani, this Mishnah that says that Yovel starts on Rosh Hashanah is Rabbi Shmuel, b'nai shel Rabbi Yechanon ben Baraykahi. And not like the Chachomim who argue with him. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, that the Pasuk says, the Pasuk after the one we just mentioned, v'kidashtem es shnasa chamishim shono, that you'll sanctify the 50th year, u'krosem deroyer ba'oretz l'chol yeshveh, and it'll be a calling for liberty for all those who dwell in it. Yovel hi, it is the year of Yovel, tiyeh lochem, it will be for you. V'shavtem ish el achuzos, so every person goes back to his home, v'ish el mishpachtu teshuvu, and everyone goes back to their family. And the pasuk after that, the Gemara is going to quote it soon. We'll read it now. It again says Yovel hi. It is Yovel shnas chamishim shon, or the 50th year. Tiyeh lochem, it should be for you. Lois is row, you should not plant. Lois iktsuru, you should not reap. Es safichel, those are the things that grow in it. Lois ivtsuru es nazirel. But also, it's a term of cutting, of reaping, that you the land has to lay abandoned and dormant, as with Shemitah. So says the Gemara, the Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, v'kidashtem es shnas ha-chamishim shana, that you should sanctify the 50th year. And there's a question on that, because it already says in the Pasuk elsewhere that you should have sheva shabsos shonim, you should have seven Shemitah cycles, and the Tishri after that, you'll sound the shofar. So I know that the year after the end of the seventh cycle of seven is the 50th year. Ma Talmud Leimar, what is the words v'kidashtem es shnas ha-chamishim shono coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara, l'fi shenemar b'yom Kippurim, since it says regarding Yom Kippur, it says you should blow the shofar, v'avarta shofar trua b'yom b'chodesh ha-shvi be'osu l'chodesh b'yom Kippurim taviru shofar b'kol ha'aretzechem yochil, because the sounding of the shofar in Yovel is indeed done on Yom Kippur, yochil, I may have entertained the idea that lo tehi miskadeshes elo m'yom Kippurim v'eilech, as the Gemara thought in the question. I would have thought that Yom Kippur starts only with Yovel starts only with Yom Kippur, not before. Talmud Loma, that's why it says, Kidashtem es Shnasach Hamishim Shono, that it's the whole 50th year that is actually sanctified is Yovel, will allow me to teach us Shemiskadeshes Voileches Mitchilosa, that the Yovel is sanctified right from the beginning of the year, from the first of Tishri. Mikan Omer Bishmol Banesh Rabbi Yechon and Baraika, that the Rabbi Shmol said that from here we see that the halachas, many of the halachas, apply right from the beginning of the year, from Rosh Hashanah. However, the pasuk does say that the slaves only leave, in practice, they only leave after the sounding of the shofar on Yom Kippur. So Bishmol ben Eish Rabbi Yechonon ben Baraika said that Mireish Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim, from the beginning of the year, which is the onset of Yovel, until Yom Kippur, those 10 days, loy hoyu avodim niftarim lebaseim, the slaves would not leave to their, back to their homes. But on this, at the same token, since Yovel has already started, v'loy mishtabdim la'adonim, they are neither are they enslaved under the rulership of their masters. Elo, so what do they do? Elo oichlin, they eat, v'shoysin, they drink, v'smeichim, they are happy, v'atereseim, b'reshem, they can even put crowns on their heads in order to show that they are going out free. Kivon shehigya Yom HaKippurim, once Yom Kippur arrives, then toku beizdin b'shoyfer, beizdin would sound the shoyfer, and then niftaru avodim lebatem, then the slaves would leave to their homes, v'sodois choizois lebalein, and the fields would go back to their original owners. And now the Gemara asks, V'rabbonon, according to the Rabbonon who argued that Bishmol ben Eish Rabbi Yechon ben Baraika, and they hold that indeed Yovel starts on Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah, how do they explain the Pasuk V'kidashtem es Shnasa Chamishim Shana? Because we saw in the Braisa, Rabbi Shmol said, we learned from there that Yovel starts Rosh Hashanah. But the Rabbonon don't agree with that. They say Yovel starts on Yom Kippur. So what do they do with this Pasuk? So answers the Gemara, this pasuk is coming to teach us that v'kidashtem es shnas hachamishim shana, to tell us that the practice of sanctifying only applies to a year. Which year? The year of Shmi, of Yovel. Shonim atu mekadish, v'yatu mekadish chadoshim. However, the Rabbonon here hold, like Reb Lozab, Reb Shimon holds, we're going to discuss this on Daf Chav Daled Amud Aleph from Yiritz Hashem, that they hold that the beginning of every new month does not need to be verbally sanctified. They don't need to be Mekadesh, the Chodesh. You only have to sanctify the Yovel, not the Chadoshim. It's going to be a discussion later on in the Masechta. So that's what it says. V'kidashtem es shnasa chamishim shono tells us that the concept of V'kidashtem only applies to the 50th year, in contrast to months, to the beginning of every month, the Rosh Chodesh, that does not need to be sanctified. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Idoch, we learned in another Braisa. The Pasuk says, Yovel hi, Shnas Achamishim Shono Tielochem, we read that before. Ma Talmud Loimar, why does it have to say again, Yovel hi? What's it coming to teach us? We've already said it in the Pesukim before that. L'fisha ne'mar v'kidashtem es Shnas Achamishim Shono, since it says in an earlier Pasuk, that you should sanctify the 50th year, I may have thought Yochil in the same way, that Kashem Shemiskadesh as Veilechas Mitchilosa, that in the same way as the according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Eish Rabbi Yechon ben Baraika we saw before, that the Yovel itself starts 10 days before Yom Kippur, it starts from Rosh Hashanah, Kach Miskadesh as Veilechas Besoifa, so too, after the end of the Yovel year, the 50th year, maybe it continues another 10 days into the year 51, an extra 10 days of Yovel. V'al titamen, that shouldn't be a wonder to you. How can you add on after the end of the year? How can that be? Shari Moisifin Michoil al HaKodesh, we find in many places that there's a requirement to add on from Choil onto Kodesh, even though the intrinsic, the initial sanctification would apply to a certain slot of time, we add on before and after, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Yom Tov, whether it's Shemitah, there's many halachas of Tosefes. So here too, maybe when it says, V'kidashtem b'shnas ha'chamishim shono, you should add that the 50th year is Kodosh, is sanctified, maybe it means in the same way as the beginning of the year, there's the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, so to the end of the year, going into the next year from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is also sanctified. Talmud Lema, that's what we need this pasuk to say, Yovel hi, that only Yovel, this year is Yovel. And to the exclusion, the word hi is an exclusion, it, and not something else. That Shnas Chamishim, Yovel hi shnas chamishim shana, that's what it says in the pasuk, that only shnas chamishim atomekadish is sanctified, only the 50th year itself. V'i atomekadish shnas chamishim v'achas. But the 51st year, even those 10 days, b'til Yom Kippur in year 51, does not have the halachas of Yovel. Says the Gemara, v'rabonon, according to the Chachomim of Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai ben Yochanan ben Baruchah, and they hold that Yovel only starts on Yom Kippur, so there's no adding on any days at the beginning, so we wouldn't entertain the idea of adding on at the end. According to them, what do they do with this extra word Yovel hi, which seems to exclude something, that something is not Yovel? What would they be excluding? Says the Gemara, Shnas Chamishim Atomoyne, Vi Atomoyne, Shnas Chamishim V'achas, which means as follows. We've seen that there's seven Shemitah cycles. From year 1 to 7, 7 is Shemitah. Year 8 to 14, 14 is Shemitah. And then all the way till, from 43 to 49, 49 is Shemitah. 50 is Yovel. But is 50 also considered year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle? Or does year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle only start in the 51st year of those years? That is going to be a machlokes tanoim. So the Gemara says that the Rabbanon, when it says Yovel hi, what it means is that this year is only Yovel. It's only moina, iato moina shnas chamishim. This year should not be counted as also the 50th year, which is Yovel, and also be counted achas as the first year of the next cycle. No, this is Yovel, and the first year of the next cycle is going to be year 51. Ulafuke midrib Yuda, and in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that Rabbi Yehuda he holds the Omar Shnas Chamishim, that the 50th year Oile Lekan Ulekan, that the 50th year is also 50th year, namely Yovel, relative to the previous seven cycles, and it's also the first year of the next Shemitah cycles. Kumash Malon Deloy, according to the Rabbonon, when it says Yovel he, the pasuk is telling us, in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that this year is only Yovel and it's not counted in the Shemitah cycles at all. And now the Gemara is moving on to this concept that we just mentioned of Moisifin Michael al HaKodesh, that when something is sanctified, we say add on a bit before and add on a bit after. Udumoisifin Michael al HaKodesh Minolon. Where do we know this concept from, that you add on Kedusha before and after? D'Tanya, we learned this in a Braisa. Bechorish is a pasuk that says as follows, Sheishes Yomim Tavoid. 6 days of the week, you're allowed to work in the fields, you're allowed to work. Uvayoyim HaShvi, on the seventh day that we know is Shabbos Kodesh, Tishbois, rest. Bechorish uvakotzir Tishbois. You should rest from Chorish, from plowing, you should rest from Kotzir, from reaping. And the big question is, on Shabbos, that's all you rest from is plowing and reaping, Chorish and Kotzir. We know there's 39 melachas. What does it mean that regarding Shabbos, Bechorish, Vakotzer, Tishbois, it seems, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, that these words, Bechorish, Vakotzer, Tishbois, is talking about not Shabbos. It's talking about something else. Let's see this inside the Tanya. Bechorish, Vakotzer, Tishbois. Rabbi Kiva Oimir, Rabbi Kiva said, Einu tzarech leimer chorish vakotzer shel shvius. Now, it cannot be talking about Shabbos, as we just said, because on Shabbos I don't need a pasuk to say Bechorish Vakotzer Tishbois. There's many halachas, including Charisha and Katsira, which are also on Shabbos. It must be something else. What would it be? Not Shabbos, maybe Shemitah, that you're not allowed to, that which is also similar to Shabbos. It's also a sabbatical on some level, and maybe the pasuk is teaching us that in Shemitah you're not allowed to plow and reap. Says Rabbi Kiva, no, that also doesn't work. Shari Kvar Nema, there's an explicit pasuk regarding Shemitah. It says, Uvashomra Shvias, Shabbos Shabbos in Yeh Le'oretz, and the seventh year the land should rest, Tva Hashem, Shabbos Lashem, Sod Choloi Sizre, your field shouldn't plant in your fields. Vakarma Choloi Sizmer, and you shouldn't work on your vine, on your vineyards, on the kerem. So you see clearly that Chorish and Kotzir is also in Shemitah. So the words Bachorish Vakotzer Tishbois that it says in the Pasuk of Shabbos, what would that be telling us? Elo, it must be Chorish Shel Erev Shvius HaNichnas L'Shvius. It must be telling us that it's talking about Shemitah, but it means that on the sixth year, Erev Shemitah, there's sometimes that a Charisha plowing is also before Shemitah. if that plowing is going to serve the land during the year of Shemitah. And since in the year of Shemitah you're not allowed to work on the land, so this is teaching us that even in the sixth year you're not allowed to plow the land. Exactly which fields stay ilon, which fields exactly, we're not going to discuss now, but there are certain fields that are not allowed to be plowed in the sixth year because it's going to benefit the fields in the seventh year. That's as far as the plowing. What's with the kotzer? What's with the reaping? With the kotzer shel shvius, hayotze lemotze shvius, those the produce, the tvor, the grains which have grown a third of their ripening, a third of their maturity during the Shemitah year, the seventh year, even though you only are going to reap them, you're only going to cut them in the eighth year, they have Kedushas Shvius. Then Shemitah continues over into the eighth year regarding those Tvua that grew a Shlish, a third, in the year of Shemitah. And again, the Halachos of Shemitah are long and complicated, and we're not discussing them here. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says, that when it says Bechorish Vakotzer Tishbois, is telling us that even though Shemitah is only the seventh year, but there are halachas that flow over to year six and to year eight. So you see from here that there's a concept of Mosifin Michoel al HaKodesh. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Actually, the words Bechorish Vakotzer Tishbois are teaching us something about Shabbos, not something about Shemitah. What's it teaching us about Shabbos? That even though there's many halachas, there's 39 av melachas that are also on Shabbos. However, the halacha of kotzir is osir only when it's similar to the halacha of chorish on Shabbos. That means reaping on Shabbos is as osir as plowing on Shabbos. What would that teach us? Ma chorish, in the same way as plowing, roshus, there is never a case that there's a mitzvah, there's a requirement that you have to plow to do a mitzvah. Plowing is never a mitzvah. It's true that you sometimes have to plow a field in order to have the grains to use for the certain korbonis. But, you know, for the oimer, for the shtei alechem, it's a mitzvah, but there's no mitzvah, you don't have to go and plow. If there's already a field that's been plowed, then you don't need to plow on specially. Af kotzir rishus. So too, that the type of kotzir, of reaping, which is also on Shabbos, is only when it's not for a mitzvah. However, yotz or kotzir, this excludes a type of reaping which is for a mitzvah, where there's a mitzvah to reap. And even if you've already had the crops or the produce has already been reaped, there's a mitzvah nonetheless to reap, especially for the mitzvah of oimer, the korban oimer, the barley that would be taken for the korban oimer. There's a mitzvah to reap them, to cut them. So ha'oimer shu mitzvah. So, and that is mutar, it's permitted to do that even on Shabbos. It overrides the issa of Shabbos. So what have we seen till now? We've seen that according to Rabbi Akiva, we learn Toisefes Michoel el HaKodesh from this pasuk, as we saw that Shemitah extends to the sixth year and the eighth year. According to Rabbi Shmuel, who learns from Bachorish Vakotzer Tishbois, he learns a halacha regarding Shabbos about whether you're allowed to override the issa of reaping on Shabbos in order to reap the barley needed for the Korban Omer. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, what would be the source that you are Moisif, that you extend the Kodesh to the Choyl? Rabbi Shmuel Mosifin Michoel al HaKodesh Minole. What would his source be? Answers the Gemara Nafkelon Midatanya. He learns out from a different Brisa. We learnt in the Brisa, and this is a Pasuk regarding Yom Kippur. It says in the Pasuk, Shabbos Shabbosin Hi Lochem, Hu Lochem, it should be a resting day for you. Ve'inisem es nafshoseichem, you should afflict yourselves. Batishol HaKodesh, on the ninth of the month. Bo'erev, in the night, in the evening. Me'erev ad erev, from the night to the next night. Tishbesu Shabbatchem, you should rest, you're resting. Which is very interesting. We afflict ourselves on the ninth. That's what the Brisa is going to address. V'nisem es nafshaseichem batisha. Yochel batisha. Are you really going to assume that you're supposed to afflict yourself by fasting on the ninth of Tishri? Talmud Leima, no. That's why it says in the Pasuk, Bo'erev, that only in the night you have to afflict yourself. That means that in the ninth of the month, at the night following it, that's when Yom Kippur is. Bo'erev, Yochel mishatichshach. If you're going to say that, since it says in the Pasuk, Bo'erev, Me'erev ad'erev, that it's only from when it gets dark, that's when Yom Kippur sets in, not before. Talmud Leima Batisha, that's why it says no. V'nisem es nafshoseichem Batisha, already on the ninth of the month, there's a level of affliction. Ha-ketzad, make up your mind. Are you afflicting yourself on the ninth or are you afflicting yourself on the night, which is the tenth? Ketzad, ha-ketzad, maschilu mis'anim mibayjim. There's a chiyuv to start fasting before Yom Kippur sets in. On the ninth, melamed shemisifin mechoil ala kodesh. So you see from here that we add on from a choil, from a weekday, so to speak, onto the Yom Kippur, which is kodesh, which is sanctified, that you should add on and extend from the choil to the kodesh. Okay, that tells us that the beginning of Yom Kippur, on the ninth of Tishri, you should fast and keep the halachas of Yom Kippur even before Yom Kippur sets in. How do you know you're supposed to extend Yom Kippur a little bit after the end of Yom Kippur, going into the night of the 11th of Tishri? Talmud Leimar, Me'erev ad Erev. That's why it says Me'erev ad Erev, to include both, and that not only it starts in the night, but it finishes during the night. It doesn't finish when you reach night of the 11th, it finishes during the night of the 11th of Tishri, which means that a few minutes into the 11th, after the 10th, after Yom Kippur, you still keep Yom Kippur. Ein le'elu Yom HaKippurim. Okay, so from this pasuk we learn that we're moisif michoil ala kodesh regarding Yom Kippur. Shabbos is minayin. How do you know that there's a concept of Tosfos Shabbos, that every Shabbos you have to keep, you have to be mekabel Shabbos, you have to keep Shabbos a few minutes before Shabbos and a few minutes after? Talmud Leimah says in the pasuk Tishbesu. In the same pasuk it says Tishbesu Shabbatchem. The extra word Tishbesu tells us not only Yom Kippur, which is the context of this pasuk, but also another resting time, which is Shabbos. Yomim Tovim Minayin. Okay, how do I know Yom Tov? I know Yom Kippur, I know Shabbos. What about Yom Tov? Talmud Leimah, Shabbatchem. When it says Tishbesu Shabbatchem, you should rest on your resting days. Which resting days is this including? Even Yom Tov. That even on Yom Tov, you should be mekabel Yom Tov a few minutes before Yom Tov and keep Yom Tov a few minutes after. Ha Ketzad. So what's the conclusion here? That Kol Mokim Shiesh Boi Shvus, any time when it says Shabbatchem, any time where it says rest, which is either Yom Kippur or Shabbos or Yom Tov, Moisifin Michoel Ala Kodesh. You add on from Yom Tov to Kodesh. And now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns that Moisifin Michoel Al HaKodesh from Bechorish Vakotzer Tishbois, what's he going to do with the Pasuk that says V'nisem Es Nafshei Seichem B'tisho LaKodesh? Rabbi Akiva, Hai V'nisem Es Nafshei Seichem B'tisho Mai Ovidle? Answers the Gemara, Miboyle Lekedetoni Chia Barav Midifti. There's a Brisa that Chia Barav Midifti would teach, and in that Brisa, we have another way of understanding this pasuk. D'toni chiyah barav medifti. V'inisem es nafshoiseichem betisha. What do we do with this pasuk? V'chi betisha mis'anin. Do you fast on the ninth? You don't fast on the ninth. V'haloi ba'asiri mis'anin. Yom Kippur is on the 10th of the month, not on the 9th. Elo lo malacho, this pasuk is telling you that kol ha'oichel v'shoise b'tshi, if you don't fast on Erev Yom Kippur, if you eat and you drink on Erev Yom Kippur on the 9th of Tishri, ma'elo lo v'kosov, the pasuk reckons it, ki'ilu his'ane tshi v'asiri, as if you afflicted yourself not only on the 10th, but also on the 9th. It's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. And in the Rishonim, there's different explanations why this should be the case, but that's the halacha. There's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth. If you eat on the ninth, it's considered as if you forget, you get schar, as if you fasted on the ninth and the tenth. Continues the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon. And the Gemara is taking us back, the Brice is taking us back to the Pasuk that we mentioned before. And before we read the Pasuk, let's just summarize again. The halachas of Yom Kippur, of Yovel. On Yovel, you're not allowed to work the land. We saw that in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Yovel hi shnas ha-chamishim shon otiye lochem lo yisizro v'lo yisiktsuru es hafichel v'lo yisivtsuru es nezireo. That's the Isurim, and those are the halachas of Yovel. But there's other halachas as well. There's sending the slaves to freedom. There's returning the fields to their original owners, and is blowing the shofar. The question is, are any of those, and which of those, actually determine whether Yovel actually happened or not? Could it be that in the absence of keeping one of those three halachas, that there is no Yovel? That's going to be the topic of this brisa. Tonu Rabbonon. So the pasuk says, V'kidashtem esnasa chamishim shono, Ukrosem Doror Boretz Lechol Yeshver, that there will be a calling of liberty, which means that the slaves will be freed. Yovel hi tielochem. This is Yovel, and it's going to be a year of Yovel for you. The question is, the extra words Yovel hi tielochem seems to be superfluous. We just said v'kidashtem esnasa chamishim shana ukrosem doror boretz lechol yeshver. What do we need the Yovel hi tielochem? And the Gemara is going to determine from here, the Braisa, the Tanoim are going to say that the words Yovel hi tielochem are teaching us two things, but on two contrasts. On the one hand, Yovel hi tielochem. It's Yovel irrespective of dot, dot, dot. We'll have to see what, irrespective of what, but irrespective of some of the halachas that you may have not kept, nonetheless, it's still Yovel. You're not allowed to work the land. And also, Yovel hi. It is Yovel, but only because you kept some or all of the halachas. But if you didn't keep some or all of the halachas, as we'll see, then it's not Yovel. The question is that what are we including, what are we excluding? Of the three halachas, shofar, sending the slaves free and returning the lands, then which of those three are actually essential for Yovel to happen? Or not? So that's going to be the discussion here. And in the Pasuk, in the Pasuk we're discussing now is Pasuk Yud. It says in Pasuk Yud, first it says Ukrosem Dororo Boretz Lechol Yeshver, that the people dwelling on the land, they're all going to go free. That's the liberty, that's the freedom that is offered to the slaves, they all go free. Then it says Yovel hi tielochem, and after that it says V'shavtem ish el achuzosoi, that every person goes back to his own land, which means that all the lands, the fields, are given back to their original owners. Which means the halacha of freeing the slaves is said before the words Yovel hi tielochem. The halacha of returning the lands is said after the words Yovel hi tielochem. And in the posuk before, in the posuk tes, that's where it says that Taviru Shofar B'chol Arzachem, that on Yom Kippur of Yovel, you have to sound the Shofar. That's the order, the sequence of the Psukim, and let's see what the Braisa does with that. Tonu Rabbonon Yovel hi, it's Yovel. And the Gemara, the Braisa, means to ask that it seems to be superfluous. Why does it have to say that? Afal Pishalei Shomtu, even though you didn't abandon the lands, which means even though you didn't give the lands back to the original owners. And Afal Pishaloi Tokwin, even though you didn't blow the shofar, nonetheless, it's still Yovel, you're not allowed to work the land. Yochel Afal Pishaloi Sholchu. I may have thought that it's Yovel even if you didn't, if nobody in Klal Yisrael sent their slaves away, or if there was nobody who sent the slaves away, then there's no Yovel. Talmud Loimar, hi. Yovel hi. It's only Yovel if what? If you sent the slaves free. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the determining factor of whether Yovel applies or not is whether you sent the slaves free. Rabbi Yossi argues with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yovel hi, afal pishalei shomtu, even though you didn't return the lands, afal pishalei sholchu, even though you didn't send the slaves free, but yochel afal pishalei toku, I may have thought that it's Yovel even if you didn't sound the shofar, Talmud loy mahi. No. The words Yovel hi tells us that the determining factor, whether it's Yovel or not, is whether you blew the shofar. You didn't blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, there's no Yovel. So, and Rabbi Yossi is now is explaining to us, V'chi me'achar shemikro echod marbe u'mikro echod mamit, from the words Yovel hi, from the extra words Yovel hi, we learn that it's Yovel no matter what. From the hi we learn it's only Yovel if, then you're going to ask me, mipnei man yoimer yovel hi afal pishalei sholchu ve'en yovel afal elohim kein toku. You're going to ask me, why did I assume that the Torah meant to tell us that Yovel is dependent on sending the slaves away and not dependent on blowing the shofar? I'll tell you why. Lefisha efshel oilam b'lo yishiluach avodim. It's possible that there's no Jewish slaves anywhere in the world, and it doesn't make sense that Yovel should be dependent on something that could be, it doesn't apply. If there's no Jewish slaves in the world, then nobody's going to send their slaves free. So it wouldn't make sense that Yovel is dependent on that. But there's no chance that the world, that there's no shofar in the world, that you can't, that the shofar doesn't apply. The mitzvah of shofar could always apply. You can always find the shofar and blow it. Dover Acher, and another reason why I assume the Torah means that the shofar is the determining factor and not freeing the slaves, is because Zu Masura Le Beis Din, the blowing of shofar is being given over as responsibility of the Beis Din, and Beis Din will do what they have to do. V'zu Eina Masura Le Beis Din, sending slaves away is not a responsibility of Beis Din. It's every person who owns a Jewish slave has to send his slave away. It doesn't make sense that the Yovel will be dependent on people that are not Beis Din. Well, so they're going to decide not to send their slaves free and there won't be any Yovel? That's not probable. Says the Gemara, my dover achir. Why do you need a second explanation? The first explanation should have been good enough, that Yovel would depend on something that always is a possibility, which is blowing shofar, and not on sending slaves away, which could be, is not a possibility, in the event that there's no Jewish slaves in the world. So why do I need the second explanation that is dependent on something which is the responsibility of Beis Din and not something which is the responsibility of other people? Why do I need that second reason? My dover achir. It's as follows. V'chi teima, are you going to refute my first explanation? That v'chi teima i'efsha d'leka chad b'saif o'ilam d'lei m'shaleach, exactly as improbable it is that there's no shofar in the world, it's improbable that there's no somebody with a slave somewhere in the world. And there's going to be some Jewish slave in the world, and therefore it's always possible that there's never going to be a case where sending a slave away is not going to be an option. And therefore, that would not be a good explanation. Therefore, I'm telling you a different explanation. Zu masura l'Beis Din, v'zu eina masura l'Beis Din. Now says the Gemara, Bishleim l'Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi explained himself. Rabbi Yosi told us exactly why he holds that the shofar is the determining factor whether Yovel happens or whether it's not Yom Kippur, whether it's not the shofar, whether it's the sending the slaves back to freedom. K'tukom ha'taymi explained himself, Elo l'Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said the determining factor is sending of the slaves, freeing the slaves, not the shofar. What would be the source for that? My Tama answers the Gemara, Omar Kro, it's from the Pasuk. This same Pasuk we're working with, the Pasuk says first, as we mentioned at the beginning, Ukrosim Droyer Bechol Lol Boret Lechol Yeshvel. First, it says that there's a calling of liberty in the land. Ukosovar. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mikro Nidrash Lefonov, V'loi Lefnei Fonov. Since before the words Yovel Hi Tie Lochem, it says, Ukrosem Dereir Boretz Lechol Yeshvel. Only the Posuk much earlier, not much earlier, the Posuk before that, it says there, that Taviru Shofar, that you blow the Shofar. So the Yovel Hi, which includes, which the Yovel Hi, which means that it's, the He says it's only Yovel if, is referring to if you've kept the Ukrosem Dereir, if you've freed slaves, that is what the determining fact is, whether it's Yovel or not. And that's the source for Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, the Kule Alma, but everybody seems to agree that Dereir, the words Ukrosem Dereir, is a term of liberty. It's a Loshen Chayra, it's a Loshen of freedom. It's where the slaves go free. My Mashma, where do you see that in the word Dereir? The Tani we learnt in a Braisa, Ein Dereir Elo Loshen Chayrus, the word Dereir means freedom. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda explained, Ma Loshen Dreir, the word, the letters of the word Dreir actually are similar letters to the word Dira, dwelling. K'medayra be'dayra, it's like this person who can dwell anywhere he wants, in any dwelling place. U'mayvil s'chayra b'chol medina, and can transport merchandise to anywhere in the world. That is a type of freedom expressed by the word Dreir. Omer b'chia bar'aba om Rabbi Yechanon. Rabbi Yechanon said that there's a third opinion. We saw that Rabbi Yehuda says that of the three halachas, that means sending, freeing the slaves, returning the land, the fields to their original owners, and blowing the shofar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's sending the slaves that's the determining factor of whether it is Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yossi says it's the blowing of the shofar. Rabbi Yechanon says there's a third opinion. Aval chachomim oimrim, the chachomim say, shloshtan ma'akvis. All three are essential. You have to also make sure that the slaves get sent free, also make sure that the fields get returned, and also blow the shofar. Shloshan ma'akvis boy, Kosovra, he learns that mikro nidrash, when it says yovel he, it's only yovel if it's talking about lefonov, referring to what it says just before it, ukrosem dror boretz lechol yeshvel, freeing the slaves, v'lifnei fonov, and to what it says in the pasuk even earlier than that, that you blow the shofar, ul'achrav, and what it says afterwards, v'shavtim ishel achuzosai, that every person goes to their land, which means the lands get returned to their original owners. Says the Gemara, so if you've said that Yovel is only when all three apply, then the words, as we said before, that's the he, that's the exclusive part of the term Yovel he, Tielochem. But we said that the very fact that there's an extra word, Yovel Hitielochem, is coming to include that it's Yovel anyway, even if you didn't do something. According to this opinion, when would that be? V'hoksiv Yovel. Says the Gemara, Ahuda Filu B'chutz Loretz, to impress on us that there are halachos of Yovel that apply even outside Eretz Yisrael. V'hoksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, Bo'oretz, ukrosim d'ror, Bo'oretz. The word Bo'oretz is mentioned in context of Yovel, seeming that it's to do with Eretz Yisrael, not to do with Chutz Loretz. Answers the Gemara, Ahu bizman sh'noyeg d'ror Bo'oretz, noyeg b'chutz la'oretz. Bizman sh'eine noyeg Bo'oretz, eine noyeg b'chutz la'oretz. When it says Bo'oretz, it doesn't mean it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It means it's dependent on Eretz Yisrael. When Yovel happens and is practiced in Eretz Yisrael, only then it's practiced in Chutz Loretz. If it's not practiced in Eretz Yisrael, then it's also not practiced in Chutz Loretz. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.